join me in the prayer of illumination. Open our hearts and minds, God of wisdom and truth, that we may hear and receive the message you have for us today. Amen. Our first reading this morning is from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 4 to 7. The Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those people whom he allowed Nebuchadnezzar to take away as prisoners from Jerusalem to Babylonia, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what you grow in them, marry and have children, then let your children get married so that they also may have children. You must increase in numbers and not decrease. This is the word of the Lord. Please open your Sing the Faith hymnal to number 2173, Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Thank you. Hear the word of God as we find it in the book of Hebrews, in the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 1, reading verses 1 through 3 and 10 through 20. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were and were not made of things which are visible. And then at verse 10, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose holder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many of the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, and having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Thus endeth the reading at the 20th verse. Faith is something that should drive all of us. And at times we falter in our faith. In the scripture that Al shared with us this morning from Jeremiah, they had been a captured people. They had seen their blessed, beloved city fall. They were sent into a foreign country, and they were assured that they should make the best of the situation they found themselves in. Make the best of being in a foreign country. Make the best of being with strangers and being subjected to people who were not their friends. Faith does strange things for us, but faith is what keeps us on the pathway that God would have us to go. Hebrew talks about faith and what it means. Paul says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The assurance of things hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. Our forefathers were called to depend on God by faith, and by faith alone. Abel and Cain came to God with their sacrifices, and Abel's sacrifice was accepted because he brought his faith in God through his gift. Abraham and Sarah were called upon by God to become the parents of a nation and to become the parent of many nations. And he responded in faith to his call. They left their home. They left their home where they lived in comfort and reasonable security, and they answered God's call by going to a land they knew nothing about. Nothing at all. They didn't even know where that land was. God was going to lead them. They took off for the unknown. That takes a lot of faith. It takes a tremendous amount of strength on the part of a person to go out into the unknown with the assurance that God will watch after you. They took off for the unknown. The list is long. The list is long of those people that God called to follow him based on faith and faith only. Moses was called to do an insurmountable job. Noah, the disciples, many, many more, answering God's call strictly on faith. Strictly on faith. And rebelling a little at first. You know, we read about the characters in the Bible and we think that they said, oh yes, I'll go with you. Almost everyone called by God offered excuses as to why they couldn't do it. Why they couldn't take on this task that he had called them to do. They rebelled. And yet God insisted and assured them that I will be with you. I will walk with you in your journey. He was told by one, I don't know what to say. And God said, I will tell you what to say. I will put the words in your mouth. I will tell you what the people need to know. Many of them were not happy with that call, but they did it anyway because they believed in this God. They gave in. And they did God's bidding. And that's what God calls us to do on a daily basis, to do his bidding. What does faith mean to us today? Do we even acknowledge our call from God? We, as a nation, say we are one nation under God, and yet we appear to live as one nation under Satan because we don't have the faith that God calls us to have. We don't trust that God will provide for us. Jesus reminds us that God will provide. He has given us everything we need. We go back into Genesis. God created heaven and earth, and he gave us everything we needed to exist here. Everything. And do we have that kind of faith that we feel that he will provide for us? All we need to do is put our faith in God, to believe that he's going to provide what he says he would. But what is our response? We put our faith in capitalism. We trust in the almighty dollar and greed. And we get as much as we can, no matter who we have to step on to get it. As a nation, this nation under God, we call America, as a nation, we put our faith in weapons. Weapons to bully people and get what we want. We lie, we cheat, we steal, and we take advantage of weaker nations. We do not put our faith in Jesus and settle our differences with other nations peacefully. We have a president who sent a team to Iran to settle our differences peacefully, and the nation went berserk. He's been called all kinds of names because he tried to sit down and talk it out. That's what God wants us to do. That's what God calls us in faith to do with one another. To sit down face to face and get to know each other. And get to understand that things can be settled peacefully and without violence. We take our weapons into foreign countries, and we kill people, and we assure our oil supply by doing so. We assure our profits. We don't trust in God, we trust in Satan, because this is what Satan wants us to do. He wants us not to trust each other. When he can divide us in that way, Satan wins and God loses. After all, we say we have to be realistic. You can't always go on faith. You have to do what you have to do. And many times that means picking up a gun and settle our differences. What did Jesus know when he said, "Take no thought for the morrow"? We know we have to think about tomorrow. We know we have to call that insurance agent and get a policy for our old age. Because we're not sure God will be there in our old age. We're not sure that God is going to provide for us as he has said he will do. Problems of the day are sufficient for the day. That's what Christ told us. We've got enough to worry about today's problems and not about tomorrow. Who do you suppose Abraham's insurance agent was? Who do you suppose assured Abraham that his old age would be taken care of and would write a policy for his old age? The bigger question is, where did he get the faith in his old age to leave everything he had and go on a search for a new country, for a new nation, because this God called him to do so? He left everything behind to become the father of nations. How many of us would do that today? And yet Abraham did it. You see, our faith gets a little bit shaky, when we have to do something more than just talk about it. You can talk about faith, it's easy to do. But living it is a problem. Because living it calls for you to put something into the game, to put yourself into the game. And it's not always an easy thing to do. It's not always something in our comfort zone that we're called to do. Why do we put so much value in the things that we have? Why do we worship the treasures that we've accumulated for ourselves? And why would we do so much to protect what we have, even to the point of taking someone's life to protect our possessions? Something that has happened in this nation. The NRA has called incessantly for more guns. More guns will answer our problems. The more guns we have, the safer we'll be. Our streets have become war zones. We have more people killed with guns on a daily basis than most nations in the world that are at war. Don't we have faith in God's word when he says, "I will provide your needs"? I will provide your needs. It's there. He's given us everything we need. All we have to do is harvest it. And we become so accustomed to our easy living that we don't even know how to harvest some of the things that God gives us. When Moses led the Jews out of Egypt, after being in slavery for over 300 years, and Moses came and led them out of slavery. When he was called by God to go up in the mountains to receive God's word, to receive the Ten Commandments, the people, the Hebrew people, faltered in their faith. Moses was gone. Was he going to come back? We don't know. They made a golden calf. They were willing to worship something they could see and hold in their hands and feel. They had more faith in that object than they had in Almighty God. The calf had done nothing for them. God had freed them, but not on their terms. God freed the people of the Hebrews from the Egyptians on his terms, and they didn't trust him. Our faith is a fragile thing, and it doesn't take much to break it. It doesn't take much to bend it and turn us away from Almighty God. Let's consider the 12 apostles. They were called to be followers of this itinerant minister. They were called one by one. The stories are not spectacular. Jesus encounters them where they are, in their everyday workplace, is where he came in contact with them. Places where they live, where they lived, and where they worked. And one by one, he called them to follow him. I will make you fishers of men, is his promise to them. They put aside what they have. They put aside the comfort and security that they have in a life that they know, a life that they've been living their entire life. They leave family behind. They leave family behind. That's something we miss sometimes when we read about the disciples. They leave family behind them, and they follow this itinerant preacher. I don't find in Scripture anywhere where Christ said, come and follow me and I'll double your wages. I don't find that at all. I don't find there where he offers them security in this life they're about to undertake. I don't find where he offers them security for the families they're leaving behind. In fact, there is scripture that says, leave the dead, bury the dead. Leave the dead, bury the dead. What does this man have to offer the 12 apostles who would choose to leave all behind and become one of his disciples? They followed him on faith. They followed him on faith and faith alone. Even Judas, who was looking for something a little different than what most of the disciples wanted, even Judas followed Jesus on faith. These people, these itinerant fishermen, uneducated for the most part, followed a man on a promise, I'll make you fishers of men. These people had the kind of faith that was necessary to start this movement we call Christianity. Do we have that kind of faith? Or do we want a little more assurance of our secure future? That's what we're looking for in life. When I retire, I will do so and so. But when I retire, I want to be sure that there's enough coming in that I can live comfortably. I don't want to promise of I'll make you a fisher of men. God's call to us has always been for us to be faithful to him, not to the dollar, not to the country, not even to our families, but to be faithful to Almighty God. That's what he calls us to do in the scriptures. In Isaiah 1, verses 19 and 20, we read, if you are willing and obedient, If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the world. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. God makes it clear. He wants us to live by faith. He wants us to live by faith according to his teachings, according to what he has taught us. And it means accepting the unknown. And we're not always willing to do that. He wants us to live according to his teachings and not Satan's. But Satan's a better road to follow. He has shinier things on his road. He offers us more of what we've become used to. In Psalm 50, verse 23, those who bring thanksgiving as their sacrifice honor me. To those who go the right way, I will show the salvation of God. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 40, we read this warning. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. So you see why it is important to live faithful lives. We cannot afford to wait to dedicate our lives to Christ. When will that call come from God? And we don't know. We have no idea. When will God call us to his kingdom? Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. The conviction of things not seen. God calls us to live our lives on faith. On faith, and sometimes that means following the things we don't know about, the things we haven't seen, the things we know nothing where it's going to lead us. By faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. And we must live by faith, accepting the word of Christ, that because God loves us so much, that the gift of his only Son assures us eternal life. If we receive eternal life, we will be there longer than we've been in this physical life. And that's why faith is so important to us. That's why we must adjust to what God calls us to do and not what the world calls us to do. God gave us a gift, the gift of his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have eternal life. The gift of hope. The gift of assurance. And that gift is made possible through God's grace. We're not perfect people. We've never been perfect people. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to trip and fall. And God will pick us up. And he'll brush us off. And he'll say, leave the sins behind you and come follow me. And how many times will he forgive you? As many as you need it. God wants to save every soul that he can because he loves his creation that much. And through our faith, we will find the way to God's eternal kingdom. He assures us eternal life through his grace. Will you live your life in faith? Will you live your life in faith following God? Or will you live your life in faith following the earthly things that we so often choose to follow? Choice is up to us. It's our choice. God will not force himself upon you. Your choice. You follow God, or do you follow Satan? But know this, that when you come back to God, He will there be there to receive you with open arms. He loved you so much. He sent His only Son for your salvation and for my salvation. He calls us in faith to be His children. Shall we answer that call? Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, there is so much in this world that becomes attractive to us. There is so much that we want, so many things that we have our hearts set upon. And at times we forget that everything that is of worth comes from You. That we don't always need what we want, but we need what You can give us. Help us to respond to Your call. Help us to be faithful to Your teaching. And help us to be so full of faith that we're willing to step out into the unknown and follow You as the disciples followed Your only Son, in whose name we offer this prayer. Amen.